decided to do this particular lesson on grace because, you know, we talk about grace a lot. We say a lot about it a lot of times, but I don't know how much we really know about grace and what God's really done for us. And I'll read this verse here, and then we'll go in and talk more about it. But I want us to think about, and we're here to worship. We're here to worship the God that of this universe. And we want to put our, wrap our minds around him to this morning. Think like he does. See what he sees, okay? Here in Romans 5, 6-8 says, "For when we were still without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet perhaps a good man, someone, would dare to die. But God demonstrated his own love toward us, and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." You know, I was, I come to Christ in 1973. But I walked many a day before that. And God's grace was out there for me waiting one day for me to make a decision. Because you see, he died 2,000 years ago, over 2,000 years ago, for all of us. And his grace was already there waiting for me and you, for all of us, to one day hear the gospel and decide whether we wanted that grace or not. It's amazing to me, God looking ahead and seeing us, all of us, before we was even born. That he had had a plan out here, waiting for us to make a decision so that we could have our sins forgiven. What a mighty God that is, I think. That when we see that, it makes us realize, and you know, we've heard this before, but think about it in God's terms, okay? Because, did you know before he created this world, this plan was already in place? You see, in Ephesians 1, 3-7, and I didn't put this verse up, but what it says in these verses that he predestined a plan to save us before we was even created, before the world even existed. See, God was looking ahead. Somebody said, "Well, did God see me on the cross when he died?" Yes, he did. He saw every one of us. He knew that he was going to make himself available by grace to give you salvation, to give us salvation. And only God could come up with a plan like that. And when he did, he said, "Wow, that's what I'll do." I mean, I can't imagine the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit all together and thinking, what can we do for man that we're going to get ready to create, that he's going to fall and make a mess of himself, and we got to clean it up. How are we going to do that? I know how we'll do it. Jesus, will you go take that place and die for them and take their sin so we could have a relationship with these people? Yes. I'll do that. All this was in the mix in God's mind before he even created the world. To me, I don't know how y'all see that, but how great a God is this that's going to do something that great for us? He didn't have to do it. He didn't even have to create us. He didn't have to create this world at all. But he wanted a relationship with you, with me. He said, the only way I can do that is I put a plan in place so their sins could be forgiven. and they could come into my kingdom, and we could all be together. But Jesus had to step up and say, I'll do that. You know, God is suffering long, waiting for another one to come. Look at what it said in 2 Peter 3:9. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count as slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. See, it's already been 2,000 years. I don't know how many more years it's going to be, but he's still waiting for one more. If he could just get one more. One day there's going to be the last one. I don't know when that is. But one day the last person, and God knows when that is, I don't, will come into the kingdom, and that's it. No more grace. No more waiting for another one. But right now, he's still waiting. And there's hundreds of people out here, thousands, that don't know him. They don't care. But he's long-suffering. You know, think about that a minute. God has put up with mankind thousands of years. Thousands of years. Wanting them to come to salvation. That's what he's waiting on. But one day, God forbid, I don't know when that is, that'll be it. But until then, it's our responsibility to get one more in here because we are his mouth, we are his feet. It's up to us to get this one more in here. And pray to God we can do that. What about grace after we saved, though? What about grace after we saved? In Romans 6, 1 through 4 says, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid, he said. Certainly not. How shall we die to sin living any longer in it? Or do you not know that as many of us that were baptized into Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so, what? We should walk in a new life. After this grace has been granted to us, we come out of that baptistry. We go in an old man, unsaved, into that watery grave. And when we come out, he says, now you're in a new life. Live a new life. Live a new life. That's what grace has done for us, has given us a chance to live a new life. That's what grace has done. Oh yeah, washed away our sin. We were clean, we come out of the baptistry, and now we're on a walk with a new life. All of us who are saved. So this grace continues to come into our life now to live, help us live out this life that we live in. Now we are told in Jude that we're to watch out for false teachers who teach a loose grace. There's no place in God's church for loose grace. And what I mean by that is sloppy grace. Let me read this. Beloved, while I was very diligent to write to you concerning our common salvation, I found it necessary to write to you exhorting you to contend earnestly for the faith which was once for all delivered to the saints. Look what happened. For certain men have crept in unnoticed, who long ago were marked out for this condemnation, ungodly men. What did they do? They turned the grace of our God into lewdness and denying the only Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. See, be careful about the sloppy grace idea, that we ride that grace pretty a lot of times, thinking that we could get away with things that we sin, maybe okay with sin, Because we're saved by grace. Saved by grace. We like that, right? Be careful. Because some have taught, and we don't want to teach it here, that you could go out and enjoy life and do whatever. You're saved by grace. Be careful about that. God said, watch out for that kind of thing. There's a danger in falling from grace. Did you know that? Do you know you can fall from grace? Look, Hebrews 12:14-15 says, pursue peace with all people and holiness without which no one will see the Lord. Look carefully, lest anyone fall short of the grace of God. I didn't read that real close. I want us all to get it because I got to get it. Look carefully, lest anyone fall short of the grace of God. Lest any root of bitterness spring up, cause trouble, and by this many become defiled. It's a danger. We have to be careful about how we handle grace. We love grace. I love grace. We should, but be careful. The grace of God should teach us to live godly. The point. Grace should teach us to live for God and glorify Him. It says in Titus 2:11-14, for the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. What does it do? What does the grace do? Teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, godly in the present age, looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself what? His own special people, zealous for good works. Grace is a teaching. If we could ever understand and grab a hold of grace the way God wants us to, it would begin to change our lives. And I think most of us have here. I think we honestly trying to live it out. Grace is a beautiful picture if we understand what it's doing for us. It's making us see the God that we serve in such a way it will help us just begin to walk a different walk. Amen. And that is so important for us because this is God's will. He says it right here. A special people, zealous for good works. Are you zealous for good works? We get a little lazy sometimes. I know we do. Zealous means I got zeal. I'm ready to go. I want to do it. I'm anxious to do it. The grace of God should teach us how to care for one another. Just what else the grace should do? All of us in here should learn grace toward each other. Because look, in 1 Peter 7-10 says, but the end of all things is at hand. Therefore be serious, watchful in your prayers. Pray for us. And above all things have fervent love for one another. Love covers a what? Multitude of sins. Be hospitable to one another without grumbling. As each one has... that's a hard one right there. Let me tell you, that's a hard one. Without grumbling. As each one has received a gift, minister it to one another. How? As good stewards with the grace of God. You know, if I'm up here trying to work with this thing, if I'm up here trying to serve you in my position here, and I'm doing it because it becomes more of a work, a task that I really resent, it's my responsibility, so I need to be up here, I got the wrong heart. If I'm not up here because I love you, if I'm not up here because I want to help you grow in your faith, then I should go home, sit down, go somewhere, Because I'm not doing my job. I'm not doing what God, I got to do it with the right heart. That's my point. And when we serve one another, we got to be careful about the heart we serve it with. Because if it becomes more of a chore than a blessing for us, we got the wrong heart. Especially we as leaderships. But any of us, for that matter, all of us. Because if you love me, you'll want to serve me with a gracious heart. And I'm just, you know, the thing about grace, learning grace is learning how to share it. Learning how to share God's grace upon others. Our Lord is the best example of grace. Look what it says. And the Word, y'all know who the Word was, right? Christ. The Word became flesh and it dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. You know, full of grace and truth. You know, I could be full of truth. I could. I can be full of knowledge and scriptures and full of grace. If I don't have that, I don't know how far I'm going to go. Because grace helps set the stage for the teaching. You know, I guess what I'm trying to say is there's two ways you could come to someone. Bitterness, hatefulness, condemnation. Or come with them with love and try to show them that way. Jesus always came with a grateful heart because he loved people. And I'll get more into that in a minute. Apostle Paul said, follow me as I followed Christ. He picked up on it. Look what Paul said. Walk in wisdom toward those who are outside. Redeem the time. Let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer each one. You know, what comes out of our mouth will say a lot about our about who we are. Because what's in the heart comes out. I guess what I'm trying to get to here is, when I looked at what Jesus and his approach, Just go through and look at where Jesus spoke and how he spoke. Now, sometimes it gets pretty rough, but what I'm saying is, in majority of time, his attitude was he loved people and he wanted them to know his Father. He came with grace. But remember this. I don't believe the grace is what killed him. I believe the truth is what killed him. Right. You can come to some people with all the grace you want, right, with all the love you want, but they may not want nothing to do with you. In fact, they may, I don't think they'll physically kill you. They did him. But you're not always going to get good results just because you come with grace. Come with a proper and gentle attitude, however. It just don't always work. I just want to put that in there because it didn't always work for him, did it? But the point is, we have to try to live our life out as his people. And there's people out here that need to hear the gospel, and it's hard. I know this. I've lived it. Some people you can talk to real good, easy, but many you can't. But it's how we come sometimes that makes a difference. You know, if we come condemning, I don't think we'll get very far. But anyway, the Lord understands our struggles, though. This is what I want us to get to. None of us in here right now are perfect people. Does that surprise you? I live with you. I know you. I know you're not perfect. But you know something about me? I'm not either. But God's grace is sufficient to help us get further along in our lives. Here it says in Hebrews 4:14 through 16, seeing then that we have a great high priest. Who is that? Jesus. He's lived this life. He knows what we go through. Who has passed through this, through the heavens. Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. Don't run away. Hold fast. Because I'm here to tell you, you hold fast, His grace will be there. We got to hold fast. He don't like a coward. You pack up and put your tail between your legs and run. Won't work for Him. He wants people steadfast, holding on. He said right there, let us hold fast our confession, for we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses. He knows us. He knows us better than we know ourselves. We fail sometimes. We're not that gentle person. Sometimes we do get aggravated at one another. Sometimes you just, I don't like you. Sometimes you don't like me. But that's okay. But you know what? Grace will make a difference. It will. You just got to understand, God said, I forgave you, and you're not going to forgive one another? You know what He said about that? He said, if I forgave you, you will forgive them. We don't have another option. There's people that I've had in the church, not necessarily here, in my past, that when I seen them coming, I'd rather go the other way. But I got where I had realized I couldn't go the other way. I got to face them because they're my brother or my sister. Because there's a judgment day coming to take care of all of this. See, I've got to be responsible for my walk. You got to be responsible for your walk. See, if you don't like me and you run away, that's your privilege, but I ain't running nowhere. Because I know my responsibility is love you. Love you. I love Ms. Valentine. I love Ray. I tell you what messes the church up when we lose that grace. You lose that grace, you done lost. So understand that, because God said, I understand where you are. All you got to do is spend some time with me. I'm talking about with God. You don't like me, go to God and tell Him. Pray up. Get prayed up real good and then come talk to me about it. Don't come talk to me till you pray up first. Because you'll mess up again. So you got to pray up. We got to keep praying. Pray for every one of you. I think that what I'm trying to say here, this walk ain't easy. You know why it ain't easy? We people. We people. But God has put us all together to get along. You know, I was thinking about the Jews and the Gentiles. They hated one another. They hated one another. Can you imagine how the early church was when God dumped the Jews and the Gentiles all together in one pile? They couldn't stand it. But He said, you will get along, He said. Let us therefore come freely to the throne of grace. I like that. The throne of grace. Because I know When I've messed up, and I have, plenty of times, let me tell you. Sometimes I regret things that I did. You ever thought you was doing something right? Really believed you was doing something right, and you found out later it was wrong? And you can't do nothing about it because it's too far past. And what do you do? Go to the throne of grace. Jesus is there saying, come on, I know your problem, children. Go with children. Come on, children. Because grace is a wonderful thing if you know what it really means. Let us therefore come freely, he said freely, to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy. And we talked about that this morning. Mercy and find grace to help in the time of what? Need. There's always a need to come before God Almighty. There's always a time that we're going to have to come and say, Lord, I messed up. I know I did. But you see, here's the people that don't get straightened out is those who refuse to come and admit it. All God's ever asked of us is when we mess up to admit it and come to him and let it be known. Acknowledge it. Because until we come to a place to know we are sinner, we're not going to do anything about it. Comes down to a choice. John 1:11-13, Christ came to his own. His own did not receive him, but as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but born of God. You ever paid a lot of attention to this verse? Christ came to his own. Who was that? When he said he came to his own, he came to the Jews. But you know, the problem was they wouldn't accept him. Many of them, most of them didn't. They didn't want his grace. They didn't want nothing to do with his grace. But he says here, as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God. I want to straighten this up right quick. When it says receive him, that means first thing you had to do is believe that Jesus was the Christ, the Son of the living God. They had to believe that he died and raised from the dead. But you know what? That did not save them. What that did is gave them a right to become a Christian, to become his. And that's when the immersion had to take place. And when they come out of that immersion, then they begin a new walk, a new talk, a new way of life. See, when you think about grace, it's a powerful word. I think we all love grace here. I know we do. And we should. Because without it, we have no hope. That's my point. I think this is the song. See, the grace of God is amazing, but has it taught us how to live? That's a good question. It's amazing grace. Has it taught us how to live for Christ?